Haines residents weigh in on borough facilities and looking at 40 years of salmon data. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedneller. Those stories and more up next. A recent survey of Haines Borough services and facilities shows a general agreement that fire, ambulance, and police are the most important services to the community. And while there is some support for a recreation center, Haines residents propose some interesting ways of achieving recreational opportunities without investing in a brand new building. The Haines 2015 Needs Assessment Survey was mailed to just over 1,500 postal customers in the area in August. Lanice Henderson Fontenot was hired to coordinate and tabulate the survey. She said the goal was to collect public opinion on services and buildings.
Basically, what the goal is to get public opinion on needed services and facilities for the community.
335 surveys were returned. Henderson Fontenot said that represents a 95% sample rate, or an excellent return. She said she was impressed with the time people took to formulate their responses.
People really took a lot of time with it. I mean, I was really just amazed. I read every single one, and there was lots of comments, lots of ideas. You know, I love the fact that there's, like, you know, coffee stains on some of them, so you could tell people were sitting and drinking their coffee and filling them out. And people, I mean, the community really came to the party. I mean, they did a great job with it, and I really want to let everybody know that, you know, every single one of those surveys was read and tabulated.
What is most apparent from the responses to the six questions on the survey is that residents agree fire, ambulance, and police are the most important services in the community. K through 12 education was closely ranked near the top, and a majority of respondents also said those two services should receive new facilities, if needed, above all other services.
I mean, police, ambulance, and fire really stuck out in the whole survey as, you know, not only important to our community as a service goes, but also important to our community from a facility standpoint.
The survey included a list of 11 borough services for respondents to consider, and besides emergency services and education, the list included senior, cultural, administrative, recreation, visitor, library, preschool education, swimming pool, and museum. The survey also asked for respondents to rank their satisfaction with these services. Henderson Fontenot said she was impressed to discover that there was a high level of reported satisfaction with most services.
Really, overall, a high level of satisfaction in the services provided. We got very few poor scores, which I thought was really impressive. And the library scoring in at the highest in the excellent ratings, with ambulance services close behind.
The study was born from a series of events. The borough several months ago got a grant to look at the possibilities for a recreation center. But according to borough executive assistant Darcy Kolbeck, the borough then expanded the idea to look at all borough-owned buildings and facilities. With the origins of the survey rooted in the question about a rec center, Henderson Fontenot said it was interesting to see how the community responded to that issue in the survey. She said about 18% of respondents said they wanted a recreation center, although additional people supported similar services by different names, like a community center or teen center. On the other hand, she said people were not interested in investing a lot of money into a newly built recreation center.
And there was a lot of comments on the surveys about, adding it to the swimming pool or using a building we already had or doing something, you know, small and affordable. And I think that's a really important thing to understand, that the survey didn't show this big, huge building, this large facility.
She also noted that many people mentioned outdoor recreation as an important topic.
There was dozens and dozens of people who talked about outdoor recreation. They wanted more walking trails, skiing trails, sidewalks, bike trails. And so sometimes when we talk about a recreation facility, we think about it being indoors. But there was a significant voice for, development of outdoor things.
The needs assessment is being followed up with two other studies. The borough is working with an Anchorage architecture firm to conduct a survey of borough director and department heads about their input for what facility needs each department may have. The architect is also conducting a technical assessment of each facility to determine any code issues in current buildings and what structural issues may be present. Those two studies will be available in the next couple weeks when the architect will travel to Haines again in early November to present his findings to the Community Facilities Committee. Combined, Henderson Fontenot said the studies will help the committee and public determine a direction for borough facilities and services.
So all three of those together should really help us come up with a plan of what to tackle first and what to do and what not to do and where to begin and, you know, all that stuff.
The needs assessment and results are available on the Haynesboro website or through a link on our KHNS News webpage. About 85% of students at Haynes School take part in some sort of after-school activity. Now, those students can have some fuel for their afternoon. The Haynes School in November will begin serving a fourth meal, or snack supper, available at 3:15 p.m. The Haynes School Board approved the program at its last meeting, and it won't cost students, or the school, any money. The program is funded through a federal program from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Food and Nutrition Services. Jen Armstrong is the Haynes School Food Coordinator. She heard about the program through a training recently and said all Alaska schools were encouraged to join.
Because almost every school qualifies in Southeast.
It's not difficult for a school to meet the qualifications of the program, Armstrong said. It must have more than 50% of its students eligible for reduced meal programs, and it must have after-school activities available. The federal reimbursement money will also allow one of the part-time assistant cooks to go full-time, Armstrong said, to help administer the after-school food program. The school board also heard recently that the new federal standards for high school lunches are leaving some students hungry. The new standards require lunches not exceed 850 calories. But adding a fourth meal will help address some of those concerns, Armstrong said. The school also serves breakfast, lunch, and a nutrition snack. The after-school snack will be similar to lunch, with 2 ounces of grains and protein, up to a cup of vegetables and fruit, and milk. The food program at the school is also currently trying to include more locally grown foods. Armstrong said the local foods program is also part of a grant, which came up this year, and that many schools across the state took part in.
It kind of blindsided all the food service directors this year and the producers, so nobody really knew it was coming. So a lot of, especially in the interior, they're like out because all the schools up there hit them hard.
Haynes School currently serves local seafood every Friday at lunch. It also uses produce grown by the sixth graders in the Starvin' Marvin program. Armstrong said she is working with the Tokchinook Watershed Council, which helps coordinate the garden project, to align the garden harvest with the needs of the school food programs.
What Pam and I have been working on, along with Meredith, with the Starvin' Marvin, is looking at what the school food service needs are, and then telling them that so they can plant a harvest that might, or plant, so when harvest comes, it might match more what we need, what we could use. And we've been looking at what grows here, so like cauliflower and broccoli and cabbage and things like that that haven't typically been grown out there that we could really utilize.
The fourth meal program will be available in early November and is free and open to all students. A recent study of salmon near Juneau revealed some interesting findings that could impact fish across Southeast. Ott Creek salmon are running earlier and for fewer days than 40 years ago, according to decades of research. University of Alaska Southeast biologist David Tallman combed through data on sculpin, salmon, and salmon relatives at the Ott Creek Weir. He says the temperature at Ott Creek has raised 1.34 degrees Celsius since 1971. Salmon are sensitive to temperature changes. Tallman told a Juneau audience last week that animal species will sometimes move north when their habitat warms, but Alaskans rely on steady local salmon runs.
If you're a commercial fisherman or a subsistence fisherman, if salmon move up to the Beaufort Sea, that's a little comfort. What you want to have is salmon in your local stream so that you can harvest them.
Researchers have counted Ott Creek salmon runs for the last 4 decades. The weir funnels the fish into a place where they are counted before continuing their migration, much like the Chilkoot River weir. Tallman said most Pacific salmon migrate earlier now than they did 40 years ago. He says in the 1970s, salmon runs lasted 79 days. Now they migrate for about 55 days. Tolman's study of Auk Creek pink salmon indicates that some had a gene that told them to migrate late in the season, which kept them from breeding with salmon that migrated earlier. Now, there is no late migration. Tolman said over the years, warming temperatures may have hurt salmon with that gene, causing them to lose a little of the genetic diversity that buffers them from a changing environment. Such changes mean that salmon predators, such as bears and humans, have to harvest the season's return in less time. Tolman says Auk Creek salmon are part of a community that stretches to the ocean, and all the species salmon encounter along the way are going through similar environmental changes.
It's important to not think about these species in isolation of the species that they eat and that eat them as well. And how they're going to respond to climate change is also going to influence the success of salmon.
But Tolman notes, the Auk Creek salmon are as abundant now as 40 years ago.
We're also fortunate in the sense that Alaska salmon have it fairly easy, right? It's not like the fish down south. There's not huge impacts from the 4-H's, hydropower, hatchery, habitat, and harvest. We have harvest here, but we've also got our habitat largely intact, and we don't have that much influence from hydropower or hatcheries.
In the future, Tolman plans to tie the Auk Creek research to data from other weirs to see what the trends are elsewhere. He says it could be more difficult to expand the study. Other weirs have data gaps or are more influenced by hatchery fish. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.